even us by the same Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
For you are glorious, you're worthy to be praised. You're the Lamb upon the
began to look at a very important subject of the Bible, which we titled The 10 Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. The 10 Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And we have explained countless number of times about the reality of an ongoing spiritual warfare that every child of God must not be ignorant about. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies." In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from the verse 3, it says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not man-made, but are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds." So there is a reality of an existing enemy and spiritual forces that hinder the progress of the believer's advancement and the expansion of God's kingdom at large. So we began to look at some remedies against Satan's devices, because whether you like it or not, there are arrows, there are missiles, there are traps, there are strategies that Satan is putting together to make sure that no believer will be effective in his service. Today, I put something on Facebook and I said that if Satan wants to destroy a Christian, there are three things he does. Number one, he will take you away from church. And the reason why coming to church is very important is because in meeting in a local church, there is fellowship with the Spirit of God. When we meet like this, there is a fellowship with the Spirit. There is a corporate anointing that is released, which you would not have when you have it alone in your room. So there is a nuptial, there's a fellowship with the Spirit, there's a baptism of power and fire. We fellowship with other believers. We are enlightened. We pray together and release dunamis. The Bible says, one shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. That means the anointing corporately is very intense when believers meet together. So if Satan wants to destroy you, the first thing he takes you away from is from church. Praise God. The place where you have fellowship with the Spirit, where angelic activities don't stop. There are so many things that happens to us as we meet corporately in the anointing like this. So many angelic activities. There are sometimes you come for a meeting like this, angels deliver certain people from all kinds of sicknesses, things that they ate that was supposed to destroy them, and plots of the enemy are averted without you even seeing. So Satan, if he wants to destroy you, he begins by taking you away from the local church. Number two, he takes you away from the Word of God. If Satan wants to destroy you, he takes you away from the Word of God. You will begin to have several reasons why you should not read your Bible. very convincing reasons. Sometimes you even procrastinate. You're going to say, I'm going to read it tomorrow. Before you realize it's 3 days, it's 4 days. You never read the word of God. And it's a trap. It's a very gradual process. The third thing he does if he wants to destroy you is to take you away from prayer. So what happens when a believer is taken away from the local church, from the word of God, and from prayer? You become exposed and vulnerable. It is easy for Satan to inject his poison into your life. One great man of God said, it is not the water around the boat that sinks the boat. It's the water that enters the boat that sinks the boat. So we are in the midst of the world. We are living in the world. We can't do anything about living in the world, because we found ourselves living in the world. But we can do something about the world living in us. Because if the world begins to live in us, it sinks us into itself. And that is how the devil gets the opportunity to drown us into destruction. So you can't do anything about being the world, but you can do something about the world getting into you. So every child of God must be on guard. Listen to me. You need to have spiritual intelligence by now that to not pray for 3 days is disastrous. To not study the word of God for 3 days is disastrous. Very, very disastrous. You are not safe as a child of God. And when we have such spiritual intelligence, it always keeps us on guard so we don't miss what God wants to do in our lives. So quickly, we said that the first remedy against Satan's devices is what we call walking in the rule of Scripture. That means the word of God must be your canon, your measurement, the parameters, and the circumference within which you walk. That means your life is guided by the word of God. It becomes final authority that brings direction to your life. Anytime you walk in the word, you are invisible to the devil. You can write that down. Anytime you walk in the word, you are invisible to the devil. For example, you're going through all kinds of affliction, and God's word says rejoice. Now, if you allow affliction to bring you down, what happens is that you begin to live in the flesh, and you are very visible to the devil when you live in the flesh. So the Bible tells us to walk in the spirit. The reason why we walk in the spirit is so that we become invincible to the devil's traps and the devil's schemes and onslaught against us. And this is a secret every child of God should know. When you walk in the word, you walk in the spirit. And when you walk in the spirit, you are invisible to the devil. So the plan of the devil is to take you out of the word, because if he succeeds in taking you out of the word, he has taken you out of the spirit, and you become physical to him. You become flesh to him. You become visible to him. Praise God. Number two, we said, do not grieve or vex the spirit. One dangerous thing you can do in spiritual warfare is to grieve your helper. The Bible has given us several things we can do that grieves the helper. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, the verse 30, the Bible says, grieve not the spirit. And it tells us that bitterness, corrupt communication, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, that's wicked and evil behavior, these things all grieve the Holy Ghost. Number three, we said, pursue heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. We explained that there are four kinds of wisdom. Number one is earthly wisdom. Number two is sensual wisdom. Number three is demonic wisdom. And number four is heavenly wisdom. All these kinds of wisdoms are available. They are in display every single time. You choose what kind of wisdom should guide your life. Revenge is a demonic kind of wisdom. Lust, fulfilling your lustful desire, is an emotional, a sensual kind of wisdom. And the thing is that you can act. See, every action. Now, I don't know if you should write this down. Every action of the believer is proceeding from a kind of wisdom you're operating from. Every action of the believer is proceeding from a certain kind of wisdom that you are operating with.
For example, when a believer is accustomed to listening to worldly music, it is because there is a certain phronesis, a certain sunesis, a certain kind of intelligence that is making him submit or subject himself to a certain system that controls his life. So the wisdom you operate with becomes your conviction. For example, I can't find myself having worldly music on my playlist. It's not possible. That's never happened in the past close to 16 years. Except worldly music that it's inevitable. You are going somewhere and they play it. That one you can't say you block your ears. Except that one. So listen, you are operating by a certain kind of wisdom, by the action, by your behavior. Your behavior proves the kind of wisdom you're operating with. And we explain that apart from the four sources of wisdom, when we speak of heavenly wisdom, there are three main places you can be able to walk in heavenly wisdom. We said number one is what? Scripture, right? Number two is what? From the leadings of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost can give you wisdom that is not normal. For example, our believers mega all night that we are going to do, international all night we're going to do from next year when we move to the new place. The Lord gave me a wisdom that is not normal on how we are going to start it. I didn't read that from a book. I was in prayer. The Holy Ghost dropped it. So there's a kind of wisdom that this heavenly wisdom, one of the sources is by the leadings of the Spirit. And number three is what? Counsel from elders, people who have walked with God. Listen, wise men, they are wise men who became wise with time, experience, and a constant walk with God. Any word that proceeds from their mouth is wisdom. Their teachings, their books, their counsels is wisdom. So you can stay with a father in the Lord and become wise just by being with him. You may not read your Bible, but you become wise. I'm teaching good here. So the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. It's a spiritual principle. Whatever you fellowship with over time sharpens you. And whatever sharpens you, shapes you. So you are shaped by what you fellowship with. That's why we advise you listen to anointed messages. Because by so doing, you are listening to elders who have wisdom in their walk with God. Because like I said, every action that is coming from you is proceeding from a certain kind of wisdom that is becoming a conviction in your life. And number one, number four, we said resist Satan's attempts, his approaches immediately. You see, these are secrets Christians don't know. One of the things you must resist immediately is the spirit of discouragement. I was with my father in the Lord, one of my fathers in the Lord, Prophet Nanase Ogbuzakodie. That was about some few weeks ago. I visited him at home. And he said something. He said he had a vision. In a vision, he went to a spiritual supermarket. And when he went there, he saw all kinds of items from the demonic incubation. And every item has a price tag on it. He saw a big bottle, and the thing written on the big bottle was bitterness. And when he checked the price tag, it was about $200. He checked another big bottle. He saw lust. He checked the bottle. It was about $20,000. He checked another one. Drunkenness. That one was about $150. So he was checking, and then he found a very small bottle. So he just bypassed it and checked it, and he realized that the price tag of that small bottle was about $500,000. And he said, how can this small bottle be that expensive? When he checked there, what was written on it was discouragement. And he woke up from the dream. And he was asking God when he woke up, how can discouragement be so expensive? And the Holy Ghost told him discouragement is one of the devil's highest weapons of distraction in the life of believers without them knowing. It's a high price. There are so many decisions you take because you are discouraged. I'm telling you. Many pastors are discouraged. Many members are discouraged. Many Christians are discouraged. And that spirit of discouragement has caused them to do certain awful things they never imagined. Do you know God can drop a vision into your spirit, but the spirit of discouragement can make you stop? Do you know that you can start something very passionate for the Lord genuinely, and the spirit of discouragement will let you stop? I'm telling you, it can come from the words of people. It can come from the attitudes of people. But listen to me. Be very careful about the spirit of discouragement, because it is a very dangerous spirit. I know what I'm saying. Discouragement can stop you from praying. Because the time is going to come, you feel you have prayed, you have even fasted, you did 40 days, you did 14 days, you did 30 days, and you are doing 100 days. Why? Why? This thing doesn't work. God has lied to me. Oh, of course, there was a time in the Bible when one great prophet said, "You have deceived me." His name is called Jeremiah. He was discouraged. Listen to me. You have to learn to deal with discouragement. Do you know that David had another nation raid his camp, took his wives away, took his goods, and took his soldiers away? And he went to inquire from the Lord. Listen, if you are discouraged, you can't inquire from the Lord. Which means discouragement can destroy the spirit of prayer in your life. And sometimes discouragement can be one of the things Satan can send to you to destroy your spiritual life. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. If you are waiting for someone to encourage you, you are in the wrong place. Because at least 95% of the people who are around you are also discouraged. You see, some people are offended for nothing. When I had a problem, nobody check up on me. The people to check up on you also need check up. You don't understand this thing, no. So sometimes people are offended of things that they're not supposed to be offended with. I'm telling you. The people you have hoping that they'll call you, they themselves need a call. So listen to me. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You are the best person to encourage you. And quickly rise up. Listen, I've not been well for some time. Have any of you visited me in the house before? So if I'm there and I say, hey, these people have killed myself, it's because of them I'm not feeling well, though. I don't have time for you to wait for you. No. I encourage myself in the Lord that I shall be well. And I move on. I'm teaching good here. Tell somebody, encourage yourself in the Lord. So hear me. Discouragement doesn't solve anything in your life. I hope you are aware of it. It doesn't solve anything in your life. It was when David encouraged himself in the Lord, he went to seek God and God gave him a solution. God said, go ahead, pursue, recover and overtake everything. It was when he encouraged himself in the Lord, he got the strength to move on. So the purpose of discouragement is to weaken you. Please write that down. The purpose of discouragement is to weaken you. Because when you are discouraged, there is nothing you will ever do in faith. This thing I'm teaching you is a serious matter. Discouragement can affect your faith. It can affect your prayer life. It can affect how you relate with other believers. It can affect your fasting life. Can affect your Bible reading life, your Bible study life. It can affect everything in your life. Don't joke with discouragement. Is it at this time that you are discouraged, that you have served God for many years and nothing is showing forth? Is it at this time? At this time? No. See, what I've gotten, I've come too far. No matter how discouraged I am, I've come too far to give up on Jesus. I'm teaching good here. So that thing can come as a thought, but listen to me. You must rebuke it immediately. I have dealt with a case where a young guy started having experiences, you know, certain thoughts of homosexuality. He started getting attracted to other men. And he was coming very sadly. He didn't realize it. As I speak to you, this guy is a gay. And as I speak to you, with sorrow in my heart, he's HIV positive. And one of the things that has hurt me was that he didn't listen to my counsel. He never listened to my counsel. It will begin as a thought to you. If it comes 100 times, you resist it immediately 100 times. You see, people don't know this thing is a fight. Satan will always come to you with all these things. And listen, if you don't handle it immediately, I told you how temptation builds. It builds, first of all, where? In your mind. If you don't deal with it in your thought, it moves where? Into your emotions. Now you begin to feel the thing you are thinking. And once you begin feeling it, you want to experience it. And when you don't deal with what enters your emotion, where does it go? Into your will. And your will becomes strengthened. So you can't even resist it again, because where you were supposed to resist it in your mind, you failed. Immediately. Tell somebody immediately. Don't waste time. A thought will come to you. You will not survive this year. You will die before 21st November. It will come as a thought. You'll be there, a thing will come again. You'll be there, a thing will come again. And you are silent. Quiet. Silent. Quiet. What is happening is that the thing is going to begin to grow, because listen, that thought is a seed. And the purpose of a seed is to die and grow. Are we following this thing? So when we talk about seeds, seeds are planted, they die, they germinate, they grow, they have branches, and they have fruits. So if you don't deal with the seed by uprooting it immediately, the end goal is that it will produce fruit. And we all know that when you plant one mango seed, it produces many mangoes. So you resist it immediately. I cannot think homosexual thoughts. I rebuke and reject you in Jesus' name. This is not my ordination. Because listen, Satan will give you more intelligence and tell you this is your nature. Haven't you realized you have never been attracted to a man before? And sometimes ladies who go through several kinds of disappointment from men, Satan will tell you, aren't you fed up with men? I'm giving you intelligence. Are you not fed up with men? Haven't you realized that men are always unfaithful to you? Stay with women. They are faithful. It's a serious matter, I'm telling you. So this thing, even suicide and thought, you don't know this thing. Thought of suicide. There was one member here who went through the thought of suicide for 6 months. It was one of my teachings that delivered her. She was fasting, she was praying about it, nothing was happening. Listen, there is a place for fasting and prayer, and there's a place for taking authority in the name of Jesus Christ. When you are supposed to rebuke and you are fasting about it, it doesn't work. I'm telling you. So don't be fasting and praying about something you're supposed to be rebuking and commanding out. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So you resist it immediately. Tell someone immediately. Number 5, we say strive to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, this thing we are teaching is real low. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because listen to me, when you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be filled with something else. And we got to know that there are 4 ways of getting filled with the Holy Ghost: speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Number 2, singing, making melody in your heart. That's number 3. And number 4, giving thanks. As you keep doing these things, there is an infilling that will come into your life. It will flood into your life like never before. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is for salvation. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is for influence. So the Holy Ghost can live in you through salvation and not influence your life because you are not filled with the Holy Ghost. A deflated balloon is immovable. It's only an inflated balloon that is light enough to be moved and carried by the wind. You cannot be carried by the Spirit if He has not filled you. So it is easier for the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you when you are filled. The Bible says be ever filled. Constantly. It's a constant thing you will keep doing for the rest of your life. Number 7, we said maintain a strong and constant watch. Which means be on guard. Don't be a loose cannon. Don't just allow anything to just come in. We spoke about 3 gates last week. We said there are 3 gates, right? Now, first gate is what? Your eyes. Second gate is all? Ears. The third gate is what? Your heart. These 3 gates. Be very careful about it. Satan knows about these 3 gates. Can I tell you something? Satan's schemes, okay, are not new. He doesn't have any modern strategies. His strategies can be found out. That's what the Bible says. We are not ignorant. He is not inventing any new strategy. If you check your Bible, the same process he used against Adam and Eve is the same process he's using for us. He spoke words into their ears, they heard. The Bible says when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was desirable for gaining wisdom. Something entered the heart. So what Eve heard, what she saw, and what she imagined she could become in her heart by taking it was what influenced her. That means she gave access to all the 3 gates. That's why we are teaching you. Jesus says, take heed what you hear. Likewise, I tell you, take heed what you see and take heed what goes into your heart. Today's message, which is number 8. Very interesting point to note. Are you ready for it? Number 8, maintain communion with God constantly. Maintain communion with God constantly. Feel the Holy Ghost. Maintain what? Communion with God constantly. Now, when we speak of maintaining communion with God constantly, we are not just talking about prayer. Because you can pray and not commune. Please, are we following this? You can pray and not commune. So communion goes beyond talking. I can talk with my wife or to my wife and still not have communion or fellowship with her. Likewise, you can talk to your father or your mother and not have fellowship or communion with them. Which tells us that communion is beyond talking, in as much as communion can involve talking. Because prayer is one of the points. That's actually the last point. But we have here maintaining constant communion with God. So we need to explain that. And it's very interesting when we speak of communion. Now, the word communion is from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia or koinonia. Now, that word communion means fellowship. That word communion means fellowship. It also means oneness. And finally, it also means intimacy. Are we following this? Good. So, what does it mean to maintain a constant communion with God? Very simple. It means to stay in touch constantly with God. Stay in touch. It also means stay connected. Stay connected. It also means be in touch intermittently with God. Be in touch intermittently with God. It also means, are you ready for this? To check up on God constantly. It means to check up on God. Are you getting something here? Now, listen to me carefully. The best way of explaining maintaining communion with God is a romantic relationship. Okay? A romantic relationship. That's the best way you can be able to understand what it means to maintain communion with God. Now, I can talk with my wife. I can talk to my wife, which is a kind of communication. Please, are you following that? I'm using this to explain the difference between prayer and communion. Though they are linked, they are not the same. But you see, when we speak of communion, it is beyond talking to or with a person. It's just staying connected with a person. For example, today, she's gone to work. But I've spoken to her at least, I've even chatted with her about 3 or 4 times already. I've thought about her today. Let me quickly leave that example then. Because I know some people will spoil this whole thing. Hallelujah. So let's also use dating, okay? Because if I stay here, there'll be a problem. Let's use dating for example. Now, do you know that when you are dating someone, apart from communicating with the person, you can commune with the person? Hey, the guys in this house are not good though. They are not good. So it's like a sharing of love, maintaining consciousness on the person. So when you fall in love with someone, you think upon the person, even in the absence of the person. Please, are you following me? So that's what we're talking about when we're speaking about communion. You think upon God. You meditate upon Him. You check up on Him occasionally to find out how He's doing. So we are using that same thing. It's like you just have every conversation with Him. Every kokonsa, my wife is aware. She's my only kokonsa partner. Anything that I see, I'll send the message to her. Have you seen this thing? The only thing I may not share with her are sensitive ministry stuff. Because that is the job I'm doing now. So just like she doesn't tell me the star she's sewing for people. Or how many clients she got the day before she came home. That is the same way there are some things I may not be able to share. Sensitive things people discuss with me, I can't be able to share it. But apart from that, anything shareable, she knows. Praise God. She knows. Pictures, she'll see it. Strange messages from other women, she'll see it. So be careful when you're texting me. I'm teaching good here. Anywhere I go, any lady who talks to me when I come back, Those who talk to me well, those who talk to me romantically, those who talk to me supernaturally, she knows. Hey! So we report each other. So it's like we are giving briefings. We are giving bulletins. We are giving news reports. We are giving everything that is reportable, sayable. Every time. And sometimes it's short conversations. Sometimes it's long conversations. That's what we're talking when we're speaking of communion. So hear me. You can pray for 1 hour as your daily routine, but you can speak to God intermittently as part of your routines in the day. So you see, the challenge of many Christians is that they are faithful with their prayers but unfaithful with communion. So they say like, okay, I decided to give God my 1 hour. When I'm done with that 1 hour, I am done with God. That's the point where you missed. I've been there before. So hear me. You can keep the discipline of prayer constantly. It can be 1 hour with God. But listen to me. Make sure you keep communion with God constantly. At least by the grace of God, I'm going to share six ways of communion with God, which is going to help you. And when the Holy Ghost was teaching me today, it has upgraded. How I commune with Him has upgraded. And people don't know, like, you know, sometimes it can be 2 minutes. 2 minutes of communion. Meanwhile, you have prayed already, but just 2 minutes of communion. You just went to the toilet and you sat on the toilet. Boom, 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 boom. As you're there, you're just thinking, Lord, I just wanted you to know I love you so much. You were bathing, you put on the shower, so you just close your eyes and you're just thinking, oh Lord, you're so beautiful. I'm teaching you something serious. That thing, it can save you from so many thoughts that are not godly. It can save you from arrows of darkness when you report yourself with God. You saw a lady and the image of a lady has worried you, sir. Let's discuss it with him. Now, Lord, I don't even know what is happening, oh God. Eh? Unwanted erections are just... That's somebody, it's a communion. You know, when you talk like this, everybody's behaving like they don't know what you are talking about. As if I'm alone in this. You don't worry, I'll take it like that. As if I'm alone. That's how it's a communion. It's a communion, I'm telling you. So quickly before we pray, how to keep in touch with God? Or how to maintain communion with God? Let me do it fast, then we close. Are you ready? How to keep in touch with God? Please, see, do this constantly. Something will change about your life. All those unwanted thoughts. If you're the kind of believer who doesn't have control over your thoughts, you're in trouble. This will solve it. It's like 1,000 things comes upon your thought. You have no control. You don't know how to trap your thoughts. You can't think of one thing for even 30 seconds. Something will come up. All kinds of things. Are you ready for this? All right. Now, before I show you this, I want to let you understand something. That when you are beginning something, be very genuine and honest in how you begin it. You will never be a master at it in one day. There are 23 things I thank God for every single day. Every single day. I knew I can't remember all the 23. So I printed it and pasted it in my prayer room. So I look at it and I say it. It's been almost 2 years. I'm still doing the same thing every day. You see, your problem is that you think you know. When I'm behaving with God, when I'm walking with God, I behave like a child. That's why God is helping me every time. So this thing, you have to look at it and practice it. Number one, tell him you love him constantly, and how hungry you are for him. Tell him how you love him constantly and how hungry you are for him. Let him know he means a lot to you. Let him know deliberately that he means a lot to you. I'm teaching you how to keep in touch with the Lord. Tell him how much you love him. You have to do it constantly. Anytime it comes to your mind, say it. How much you love him constantly and how hungry you are for him. And let him know how he means a lot to you. Father, I just love you so much. I just want you to know I'm hungry for you. I'm so desperate for you, Lord. You mean everything to me. You'll be thinking what you're saying is a joke. But actually, God has taken it World Cup. That thing you just told God, he has taken it World Cup. Can we practice it? In the next 30 seconds, say the same thing. You can put it in your own style. Don't be restricted. Father, I just want you to know I love you. You mean everything to me. I just love you. I just want you to know that I love you. I know you know, but I just want you to also know again and again that I love you. I'm so much in love. I'm desperately in love with you. I'm crazily in love. I'm stupidly in love with you. I love you so much, Jesus. You mean everything to me. You mean everything to me. I'm desperate for you, Lord. I'm desperate for you. I just love you so much. I'm hungry. I thirst for more of you. I yearn for more of you. Thank you, Jesus. I love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, imagine you do this every 30 minutes. You just say it. You see that you don't need to say 30 minutes. Just once, you are done. You just move on again. 30 minutes again. It comes to your mind. You say, Father, I just want you to know I love you. Jesus, I love you so much. David did that when he was in the wilderness. In the book of Psalm 63, the verse 1 to 8. When you go home, read it. I have pasted it in my prayer room. I've printed it. Me, the way I've taken my Christianity World Cup, everything I do is deliberate. I bought a printer for that purpose. I've printed it in my prayer room. When I turn my desk to the right, that's what I see. So I prayed. Look, he says, 63, the verse 1 to 8. Look, he says, oh God, how can this be in the Psalms and you're not saying it? Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. You are going to say the same thing to him. Oh. He said, my soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so have I seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. He says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. At that time, you lift up your hands. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with what? Joyful lips. You are saying this to him. When I remember thee upon my bed, this one is not a prayer. It's a love conversation. It's just communion with God. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. He says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Next one. He says, my soul followed what? Hard after thee. Thy right hand upholded me. Imagine you say this. Anytime I get to this verse, when I turn in my prayer room, I'm like, there is a certain hunger that bursts forth in my soul. And my heart begins to angulate towards his direction. These are things you do that directs your heart to God. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. 1 Peter 3. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. He's meaning set apart the Lord in your heart. This is how to do it. So number one, you tell him how much you love him. You do it consistently, not once in a day. You can do that 15 times a day, and you don't need to say it for 5 minutes. You can just say it once. Father, I just love you. I need you every day in my life. Jesus, I'm just desperate for more of you. You're done. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Something will shift about your day. Number two, frequently read verses of scripture at all times. Frequently read verses of scripture at all times. I'm teaching you how to keep in touch with the Lord. Keep in touch with the Lord. Frequently read verses of scripture at all times, which means that you are done with your quiet time. Your quiet time was 1 hour. You read your Bible. You read your daily devotional. You are done. But in the course of the day, just find a moment to just read a full chapter or just a verse and just think and just read it. Just read it for the sake of it. Because remember, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was. So an encounter with the Word is an encounter with. So just by taking a verse of scripture, just all time, odd. You didn't plan to read. You didn't even know what you're about to read. Just read something. It's a way of keeping in touch with God. It's a way of communion with God. So sometimes you can read the Bible 4 times. Very short interval. I'm talking about very short intervals. Just read. That's number 2. Are you ready for number 3? Number 3. Pause occasionally during busy activities and just think about Him. Pause occasionally during busy activities and just think about Him. By pondering over His word, His goodness, and His kindness. This is a very strong, powerful point. Pause occasionally during busy activities. You are busy in the office. You are busy in work. You are busy at the shop. All of a sudden, you just decided to just pause for just a minute. Just a minute. And you begin to think about His word, about His goodness, about His loving kindness towards you. You just think about Him. Listen, anybody you truly love, you think upon the person. And that's one of the ways of communing with the person. Are you ready for number 4? Number 4, listen to or watch a message that reminds you about Him. Listen to or watch a message that reminds you about Him. Today, my prayer life was just ignited by just listening to a 16-minute video by one man of God. By just watching it, my consciousness of God heightened. And I prayed more than I've been doing lately today. Number what? Number 5. Play some love songs and sing along to Him. So get a playlist. Any song that glorifies God. Any song that is filled with gratitude to God, love for God, thirst for God, desperation for God, glory to God. Those songs, just play it and sing along. And sometimes you can even silently be just enjoying the song. Are you following this? And finally, be in church for corporate fellowship meetings. That's the final way of keeping in touch with the Lord. Be in church for corporate fellowship meetings. Now, what we are doing is part of communion. We are hearing the word of God. We are worshiping. We are praising. We are keeping in touch with the Lord. And these are a few thoughts just to help you and guide you on how to stay in touch. Listen, if this thing you are seeing here is part of your life, it will be very difficult for Satan to succeed penetrating into your soul. We are teaching you on how the remedies against Satan's devices. So Satan is after your communion with God. He knows what that thing can do. Did I help anybody? So we said number 1 is what? What? Tell Him you love Him constantly and how hungry you are for Him. Let him know what? He means a lot to you. Good. Number two. Frequently read verses of scripture at all times. You have done your Bible reading already, but you just decided to read just two verses or three verses. That will just keep your thoughts on God. You know, there was one verse that really blessed me in Living Bible. Can someone read Colossians chapter 3, the verse 1 to 3 in Living Bible? Give that to me in NLT first. Someone should read that for me in Living Bible. LBT. Now, he says, I've told the media team to get Living Bible, but till now, it's been 5 years. Let's continue. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your what? Your sight on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Look at the next verse. He says, what? Think about things of heaven, not things on the earth. Now, these things that I'm just teaching you is how to think about things in heaven. Look at verse 3. He says, for you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Are you ready for Living Bible? All right, who's ready to read that for us? Get a microphone. All right, so Living Bible. Now listen to what Living Bible said, okay?
Since you have become alive again, so to speak, when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sight on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where he sits beside God in the place of honor and power.
Yeah.
The verse 2. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here.
He said, let what? Heaven do what? Fill your thoughts. And don't do what?
Don't spend your time worrying about things.
Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. Look at the next verse.
You should have a little desire for this world.
Have a little desire for this world.
As a dead person does.
As a what? Dead person. Have you seen a dead person who is thinking of what he's going to wear?
No. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God.
So listen. Where your real life is where you ponder upon. So one of the ways of, so we just spoke about the second point. What's number three? Pause occasionally doing what? Busy activities. And do what? Think about him. Just pause at work. I know you are busy. Just pause for 1 minute. 1 minute. And just think about him. His word. His goodness. How far he has brought you. When you are doing this, the more you are staying in touch with God. Can I share this in 1 minute? There are two deadly sins. I found out in scripture. That is so subtle that many Christians won't realize it's the cause of their damages in life. Judges chapter 3, the verse 7 and 8. You will be shocked because these are subtle sins that Christians don't even acknowledge. The Bible says Israel did the evil in the sight of the Lord. They what? Oh, you're not here with me. This class is so... What? They forgot about the Lord their God. And they served their image. What's another word of serving another image? Idolatry. Images of Baal and the Asherah poles. Look at the verse 8. What happened to them? And the Lord burned with anger. That word burned with anger is an expression of the action that comes out of jealousy. And the Lord burned with anger against Israel. And what did he do? He turned them over. He left their case for them. Because God was the reason why the other nations could not attack Israel. So what he did was that he removed the covering and left them over. So Satan knows that when these two sins are in your life, these two deadly sins. Now, follow. Number one deadly sin is the sin of neglect and forgetting God. You see, this is something many Christians have ignored. By experience in the word of God, I can tell you in authority, this was one of the major sins that made God leave Israel. Every time Israel entered into captivity, it was because of forgetting God, and number two, idolatry. Serving other gods other than God. Go and check your Bible. Right from the beginning, right from the time Israel came out of Egypt, if God handed them over to their enemies, if God punished them, it was because of these two sins. So every time God reminded Israel, do not forget. When you eat and you have become fat, don't forget. God will always remind them, don't forget. When you go home, yesterday I was just at random, I was just reading the whole chapter of Psalm 78. And the things I saw in Psalm 78, I realized that, listen, many Christians fall short in this area. Israel's major problem was neglect and idolatry. They neglected God. They forgot about Him. And these are sins many Christians are committing today, and which has become a major weapon Satan is using to destroy many Christians. In all your forgettings, don't forget God. How come you don't forget the things people do against you that hurt you, but you easily forget about God? See, forgetfulness of God is disastrous. Idolatry is disastrous. I'm telling you. In 1 minute, we are going to practice what we just saw on how to keep in touch with the Lord. There are some that can be practiced now. There are some that can only be practiced when you are home. The ones that are practicable now, that's what we're going to do for the next 1 minute. Now you're going to deliberately, intentionally cultivate communion with Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know you're tired. Yeah, I know you are exhausted from the activities of the day. But you are taking this time off to just love on God. To just love on God. Just tell Him how much He's sweet. How He's sweet. Jesus. Blessed Jesus. I love Your name. I love Your name. Jesus. Precious Jesus. There is no other name like Yours. Jesus. Precious Jesus. Can you talk to Him? I love Your name. I love Your name, Jesus, precious Jesus. There is no other name like You. Talk to Him. Jesus, precious Jesus. I love Thy name. I love Your name, Jesus, precious Jesus. There is no other name like Yours. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great. Sight of everybody around you and stay focused on the Lord. There is something that can happen to you tonight just by shifting this heart towards the Lord.
It's our God.
singing for 1 minute.
I'm lost without you.